Hallelujah. It's not that he can. He is mighty to save. And I can testify about it today. And everybody here has a testimony. I remember years ago, I lived in a house across town, 207 West Fayette Street. And I remember people would be praising and worship God in this place. And he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw a man unto me. And I remember God tugging at my heartstrings as I was in my house. And I knew people were praying for me in this church during that time. And I said, I got to get to the house of God because God is mighty to save. It's not that he can't save me. He did save me. And he will save those that are afar off. It's not that they aren't here right now, but God is going to save them. Not that he can't save them. He is going to save my family. He's going to save those lost loved ones in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. As he's been too good to me, and he is a faithful God. But you, O Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. For the Lord your God is living among you, it says in Zephaniah 3:17. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm your fears, all of them. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. His faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Yes. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. How can you not put a smile on your face? A father to the fatherless. All I want to do, and this has been my heartbeat, is to, Lord, I just want to show gratefulness for your faithfulness, for your unfailing love, Lord. Can we touch his heart this morning? Lord, you've been so good to us, Lord. Lord, you didn't give up on us when others gave up on us, Lord. You've been faithful when we haven't been faithful, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, Lord, and your touch, Lord. May our gratefulness, may our thankfulness and our praise and our worship to you, Lord, touch your heart today in Jesus' name. Let's continue to love the Lord in this place. He's so good and his presence is here in Jesus' name.
You can be seated if you want to.
Because of Jesus, we have overcome. Because of Jesus, every battle has been won. Because of Jesus, we have eternal life. Because of
ago, and it has stuck with me. And when you listen to the words, because of Jesus, we have overcome. Because of Jesus, every battle has been won. That even means the battles that we have not come up against yet.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because of Jesus, we have eternal life. That's the biggest one right there, the promise of eternal life. Last night in our prayer service at the church, there were a few of us that were in there praying and talking to the Lord. And at the end of it, we came down around the front of the church, and all of a sudden there was tongues and interpretation. And that interpretation was, this is a dark world. It's a dark world that we live in, and we all know that. And he said, it is by the prayers of his people that light will come. It's by those prayers that he will pierce that darkness. And this morning, I'm so thankful. It's because of his light, because of Jesus, we've overcome today. Because of him, all of our battles have been won. Let's sing it to him.
Because of Jesus, we have overcome. Because of Jesus, every battle has been won. Because of Jesus, we have eternal life. Oh, mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power. Wrap the living water. Set tomorrow in mystery. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Yes, with all creation I sing. Praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Of your name.
We must be gaining some altitude in this place today, because he said he causes us to sit together in heavenly places. And I feel like heaven and earth are a little closer than it was before we came here this morning. In Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can reach out and touch you, that we can draw near to you, and you draw near to us at the same time, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your touch in this service and in this place at this very moment, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're going to ask the ushers to come at this time. I love what I feel in the house of the Lord this morning. Brother Mike, would you pray for the offering? Hallelujah. Can we give him a hand, cup of praise? Father's Day weekend at First Apostolic Church of Sandwich. We're young people, Sunday School Department has something special they'd like to present with the church. So you could be seated at this time, and we're going to turn it over to them.
Praise the Lord, everyone. wanted to make sure. I just want, I'm appreciative for all of those who are willing to help us out with this song, young and old, or older. I appreciate it so much. So just have fun.
Get all stand at this time. I'm so thankful to have the Newmans here. Aren't we blessed to have Sister Newman on the keyboard this morning? And Brother and Sister Newman are no strangers to this church. I can say that we've been looking forward to this for a while, and we knew that they were going to be here. So if we can give Brother Newman a warm welcome, and we're going to let him have it from here.
Praise. This is better, huh? Tell you, feel about the same size there. That's why, probably. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of God, right? So many places that we could be that would not be the right place to be. I have a hard time imagining being anywhere at this point in my life, and even as a kid, than being in the house of God on Sunday. It's just part of what we do, and I'm privileged to be a part of that. Privileged to be here. We were laughing earlier. I think it was at the men's conference. Brother back there said, "I'll see you at Christmas." And Father's Day, June. And so when he came in, I said, "I'll see you at Christmas." So, but we love being here. We love the Wells. You have great pastor and great church, in all honesty. Praise the Lord. Y'all have a great church. And I know that all of you that have been involved in ministry here, I know he appreciates your faithfulness to be here and to serve. And it gives him a great satisfaction to know that he can leave and not have to worry about things falling apart while he's gone. Praise the Lord. Now, Brother Kellum, I don't know, your son there, he may still be dizzy after all that twirling as he was going around. And it seemed like he started going faster. And he started doing a little staggering there, and I'm like, wow. But he was into it. Praise the Lord. Happy Father's Day to all our fathers. Glad that you're here. We recognize you. We understand. In fact, I want to spend just a little while talking about that. If you've got your Bibles, we'll go right to the Word of God. In Luke, the 11th chapter, I want to read 13 verses there. Familiar passage for us. So many ways. As I was preparing and thinking about it, this scripture actually came to my mind, and God has just been impressing me. So we worshiped and we sang to spend time in this passage, and it lends to my thought that I had that he had been talking to me about. But chapter 11 of Luke, he begins talking about a very important thing. He says, "Teach us to pray." So it Verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Verse 2 said, "And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him at midnight, or say, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot arise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not arise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he shall rise and give him as many as he needeth. Verse 9 says, And I say unto you, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Verse 11 says, If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask of him?" Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. This simple thought. God is faithful. Don't have to go beyond that. God is faithful. Can we pray right now? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to come before you, to worship you, to praise you. We thank you. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be here and for every father that's in this room. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. We give you glory and we honor you. Your wonderful name, the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. A gentleman by the name of Robert Wolgamuth wrote a book, She Calls Me Daddy. And he writes in his reasoning for writing this book, he says, in the middle of the night, his daughter, who was away at college, called him and he said, even in the middle of the night, we woke up and he said, I went around and I sat on the bed there and I listened as my daughter poured out her troubles. Her boyfriend that she had been dating kind of liked. He started getting to that point where he decided he'd made up his mind, and he was ready. And so he was beginning to talk about marriage and kids and their future life, and she was in the throes of just confusion because she didn't know how she felt. And so it worried her to the point that in the middle of the night, she calls her dad and begins to discuss with him. And his words were, we sat, and he said, I sat there, and she was in her room, and I'm all the way away, and not by her. And he says, as she cried, and we laughed, he said, we discussed all the complications and the options that she might have. And then he said, we hung up with, I love you, Dad. And he said, I went around, and I laid back in my bed. And he said, my wife had been patiently listening to one side of the conversation. How many of you done that with your kids? You hear that phone, you're just like, come on, tell me. But she didn't ask, he said. And as I lay there, he said, I begin to thank the Lord for my daughter. And he said, that morning, he said, I got up. And he said, my wife comes and we're sitting around the table. And we're talking about the various discussion that I'd had in the middle of the night, and I explained it, he said, as best I could. But he said, the one thing, he said, actually, the reason I started writing this book and launched this, he said, was because it hit me in the middle of the night. She thought enough of me and my counsel that she would call me in the middle of the night. And he said, I am so thankful for that. And you know, that is something that this world takes for granted. Our world is in a crisis. We are at the point of life where fathers are not looked upon in the way that they used to be. Our world is taught, our kids are taught to question everything, question your parents. The teachers try to give the advice, and so we find things happening. And as a result, even for the last many years, our divorce rate is at 50%. And things are happening. Actually, I believe it's dropped, but only simply because people aren't getting married. But the situation of the family, what we've known in the past, the very point of where when Adam and Eve, God set it in motion that a man would leave his family, join with his wife, and they would become one. That dynamic is finding itself at a critical point. And we need fathers. They were doing a study, and there's been several out, but notice this about our families, and I'm using it for fathers. It can apply to anyone, and I don't mean if you are a single parent raising your family, I honor you. I honor everything that you do. I know it's rough. I know that there's a lot of things that you fight that I might not, simply because I have a beautiful wife, who I'm glad is with me, by the way. And we can do that together, but understand that our children are at risk, and we as a church, we need to step forward and help as much as we can in those situations. to provide that avenue of assistance. But they began to talk about some of the things, and as I began to look at it, I was amazed at what the U.S. data is providing. It's saying right now that 85% of all children that exhibit behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless or single-parent homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 75% of all adolescent children in chemical abuse centers now come from fatherless homes. 63% of all youth suicides are, again, from fatherless homes. When they talked about juvenile delinquency, 80% of rapists, they said, were motivated, according to the Criminal Justice and Behavior Study, were motivated by displaced anger that came from not having a father. 70% of our juveniles in state-operated institutions are from fatherless homes. And it goes on and on. What happens is 5 times they're more likely to commit suicide, 32 times more likely to run away, 20 times more likely to have behavioral disorders, 14 times more likely to commit rape, 9 times more likely to drop out of high school, 10 times more likely to abuse substance, 9 times more likely to be in a state-operated institution, and 20 times more likely to be in prison. And it goes on and on and on. We need fathers. Not only that, but we need fathers that are faithful. We need fathers that step into the gap and stand for something and that are for sure in a place. God is faithful. He's our example. And the disciples came to him. God's been dealing with me in the last couple of months. Those disciples came to him and said, teach us how to pray. I'm looking for a way to do this. How should we go about life? And the first thing he says in the Lord's Prayer is, Our Father. Immediately he points. And those 13 verses are all contributing and all working and pointing back to the Lord's Prayer. And he ends in the 13th verse saying, How much more will your heavenly Father give? The whole way through he's talking about how people live and how people operate. And we have a duty, if you will, to become fathers that our kids can look up to. Fathers that can stand for something, that people, when they look at us, they know that we have a responsibility, that we take the responsibility. We don't take it lightly. I was on the way here. My wife was reading me my eldest daughter's Instagram, and I want to read it. It's really nice. I was really happy. My dad, he's the best. He's a wealth of knowledge and has taught me so much. Dad is so generous with love, time, help, listening, etc. You name it. If he has it, he'll give it. He is genuine. He loves people. He goes the extra step to make sure you know someone is glad to see you today. He's driven 9 hours just to help me with my lawn or my house on multiple occasions. He's advised me in so many different situations, and he's encouraged me to seek the Lord and follow peace in many situations. He's my example, my friend, my encourager, my leader, my joker, my teacher, my dad. I love you, and I'm thankful for you every day. Praise God. 25 years later, praise the Lord. My wife wrote on there, she said, I was tearing up. Well, I was having the same thought process, and it just lended itself to where I was going with, we need faithful fathers. We need to have our kids understand what a father stands for. I'm so thankful she has that view of me. Here's my son's card. It's
15. It was written originally for a cat. It's so good to have a dad like you, but you know what? It's even better for you to have a boy like me. Because every single day, Dad, I let you feed me and brush my hair off the couch. I sleep on your face and I show you my rear. And on the most special days, you clean my poop from the litter box. If you're not the luckiest guy in the whole wide world, well, I don't know who is. Dad, I hope you realize that it's always been your privilege to serve me in these big and little ways. If you weren't my inferior but loyal subject, I would tell you that you're the best thing that ever happened to me. We both know I can't do that right because I'm just a cat. He put in here because I'm the alpha male. What I can do is wish you a very happy Father's Day, filled with opportunities to pamper me, to please me, to make my life better in every way. Because, Dad, I tolerate you. I really do. Not just on Father's Day, but always. But yet, in his own way, I took just as much joy from that card as I did from my daughter's 10 years different, well-written words. Now, I need to save those and hope in 10 years I get something the same way from my boy. But as I thought about those two different instances, it came to me, I said that, Lord, help me. Help our world, help our church to develop people that will be faithful fathers. That we could find God and follow after God in such a way that people would understand who He is because of our life that we live. So many times, especially the last several weeks, as our society and our social media has gotten involved, and it's just a fight. It seems like every day you open it up and people don't stand for anything and everything's wrong. But Lord, help us get to the point where we come back and understand that it's the faithfulness of God and our ability to follow His example that allows us to move forward. Because we really do. We really need heavenly and faithful fathers. We need to act like Him. We need to do those things. And when you look at our scripture that we started off with, that Lord's Prayer, he was not just saying, just pray this way, but he was trying to get them to understand. In this world, we've got to have a place to go. We've got to have somebody we recognize as our father. This week, 11 years ago, I lost mine. And there's not a week that goes by that I don't say, you know what, I'd like to talk to him one more time. But the beautiful thing is, I can go every day to the Lord in prayer. I can go to Him and the things that I would want to say to my physical, natural dad, I can say to my heavenly, spiritual dad. I can look to Him and I can say, here it is, God. As my daughter said, the person I can call, the person that I can counsel with, the person that I can talk to, the one that will drive 9 hours. Our God is such a God. The Bible says that talks about it in Hebrews, He's a high priest, that can be touched with our infirmities. He feels like He can relate. That's what my daughter understood, and that's what I've got to understand about Him. He's God. He's the one that I've got to call on. Praise the Lord. I've got to allow that to happen, and I've got to follow Him in such a way that my life is faithful to Him and to my family and to others. We have to be that type of a person. We find God is the one. God is faithful. God is faithful. Think about that. What does that mean in your life? God is faithful. I know the Kellum family this week, our at the hospital, and a knee surgery, and y'all been doing those knee surgeries a lot. But as y'all were sitting there, y'all, I know that that came to your mind. Okay, Lord, we don't know what's going to happen, but protect. And you leaned on God's faithfulness. Brother Day, you've leaned on God's faithfulness time and time again. And as you've gone through your life and the different things that happen, as we walk through those things, we find that, don't we? We find God, and that's the assurance that we have. That's what we need in this world from our fathers. That's what we need to display, and that this is the place they can go. When we go to the Lord in prayer, those of us that have discovered He's been there time and time again, it lets us know that, you know what? He's going to be there again. He's going to hear. He's not far off that He can't be touched, but He's right there. And that gives us the assurance to go to Him and say, God, I have a need. Father, I need this. How many times, think about your life, have you reached to that point where you've stopped and you said, okay, what do I do now? And you look for that Father. Okay, let me make a phone call. Let me call my boy. He has no problem calling me at any time of the day, night, or whatever. He'll find me. And it can be it can be anything. I have a special relationship with Him, which is why I love this card. Because it's so much our relationship. I've been blessed to spend a lot more time with Him than the girls. And so he comes to depend on me. I'm not too far away. He's right beside me. We called him this week. We were on vacation, and we were telling him, you know, you're kind of clingy. Yeah, we said, he was hovering. He said, you're hovering. You're hovering. Every time we turned around, he was there wrapping an arm around us or talking to us, wanting to be right beside us. But here's the thing. I know that when he does turn 25, once this next year comes and he gets his license, he's still going to be hovering. Because we've got that connection that's built there between us. And that's the connection that we have to have with our Heavenly Father. We've got to have that point, that place in our life where we say, this is what I need, God. You're there and you hear and you answer. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen just because He's named the Father in name only. That's the problem with our world. There was another statistic, and I didn't bring it with me, but it was talking about the, see if I can forget how many million fathers there were in this world. And then it talked about how many fathers were actually a part of their kids' life. And it was way, way down there. And it hit me. I said, they aren't involved. They don't know anything. They don't know who their kids are. I've got, and you've got friends and family that they don't ever react or interact with their dads. Because they don't have that relationship. That dad never made it an important part of what he did. He never thought about it in that way to be involved. And when they do, sometimes it's too late. Sometimes it's too late. But I begin to think about what it means. Our Lord's Prayer says, I mean, go back and look in that. At chapter 11 there, He says, "Say when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Okay, we go through that process. We said, okay, that's cool. We've all heard the Lord's Prayer. But notice the thought process of where we as fathers could and need to be. Verse 3 says, give us this day our daily bread. Fathers should be the part that they provide. Children should understand that when they call him dad, he's going to provide. If they have a need, he's going to give it. He's going to be the one that's there. And our very model of prayer here says, "Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Provide for me." A Father that's faithful provides. And our God provides in so many ways. He keeps His promises. Our Lord's shown that. In fact, in Genesis 15, He told Abraham, you know, your future generation, the fourth generation, they're going to go to a distant land for 400 years. But I'll bring them out. And we find when Exodus comes around, Exodus 12, we find that 430 years has passed. His people, are Abraham's descendants, are slaves. They're oppressed. But the Lord begins the process of bringing them out. God has given us promises, just like He gave Abraham. And we read that. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. A Father keeps His promises, and our Lord keeps His promises. He is faithful. He is faithful. Over and over in our scriptures, God provides and says He's faithful. Not just in 1 Corinthians 1, 9, but Deuteronomy 7 and 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God that keeps covenant." In other words, keeps that thing that binds Him to you, a covenant, that binding agreement that He has with us. He keeps covenant with us. And mercy He gives to them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. That's a long time. That's a long time. Our God is faithful. And if we're going to be faithful fathers, we have to be that same way. Our word has to be such that they can come and find that from us. And so we have to be that way. And Isaiah, Lord, gave the prophecy that a son would be born to a virgin. His name shall be called Emmanuel. And we come to Matthew 1 and we find that Joseph is visited by an angel. And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, being God with us. That word is kept. That promise is kept. Faithful fathers, they keep the promise. They're faithful in preserving. Fathers protect. Fathers guard. That's what our God is. Over and over throughout our scripture, if you look at Psalms, how many times does David talk about God coming in, providing, raising up a standard, leading him through the valley of death? I will not fear. That's God. He preserves. I want my boy, and as you can tell from my card, my boy understands he's got a safe place with Dad. He's got life pretty good, doesn't he? Because that's his thoughts. And that's what happens. A father that's faithful, he'll preserve, he'll protect, he'll guard. And our Lord will guard us. That's the beautiful part when we go to Him in prayer and we feel His presence come in. I was talking to a man just this morning. And although he goes to a different type of church, he was talking about how he said, you know, I got away from God for a little while. He said, but I remember being in church. As the preacher was preaching, he said, I just felt the Spirit of God. He said, a tingling started on me. And he said, I can't get away from that. And he says, I haven't missed a church service, gone a week without church since then. Because he understood all of a sudden that God was real and God had care and concern and was going to preserve him and keep him. And though there may be some things he needs to do in his life, get into full truth, he's connected to God. He understands the part and the role that God plays in his life. And so he's willing because he understands God is faithful. God is going to be there. Hallelujah. He calls us into his fellowship with that way. Praise the Lord. A father that's faithful, our God who's faithful, is also faithful in his discipline. In other words, there's a thing that God expects from us. And there's things I expect from my kids. But you know what? The one thing I've always appreciated about my dad was that I understood where the line was. I understood in this world where they're erasing every line that is there. They're taking the big whitewash, just anything that's up there that stands for something, they're taking it away. It's nice to know there's a safe place. There's this order. There's this thing that God gives. There's a reason why we have moral laws and Ten Commandments. Yeah, people like to say they're not. But you know what? That keeps me in the straight and narrow. That makes me an honorable person. When I can, if I just follow those 10 rules, if we could get the world to follow those 10 rules, if we could get the world to just, you know, start doing those things that it has in there, brother. Imagine how different it would be. We wouldn't have to have all these laws about this and that and correcting and putting you in this little space and you can't do this and you can't do that. Just 10 commandments. 10 simple rules. Think about it. 10 simple rules. But our God puts discipline in there. He wants us to follow after Him. People need to understand that they're a line. And my kids need to understand that I've got a line. They know certain things. My boy the cat, he understands. It was a couple of weeks back, and I was a little late getting my taxes in, and I was finally doing them. I had all my papers out. He decided he was hovering. And he comes up, sneaks behind me, and I know something's going to happen because he's my boy. Sure enough, all of a sudden, water starts flowing over the top of my head, all across all my papers. Instantly, he knew that was the line that he'd just crossed. He moved very quickly, with me right behind him. After we got to the point where we could laugh, he said, "Dad, I didn't expect the water to roll like it did." I said, "There's nothing here to hold the water. What do you expect?" I said, "Your hair, you know, it takes water. Mine, I don't have hair." But he understood real quick. Oh, that was something I shouldn't have done. Just that little starting my just the straightening up probably of my shoulders, let him know, "I have gone too far. It is time to move out of the way." But that's what happens because our God, He's faithful. And because He allows us to understand, because He put all this in place so we could understand. If we could just operate by this rule book, we could just follow, not just the ten rules. If we do the 10 rules which are backed up in here, they're just explained a little more. But if we could just get that. Psalms 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. When we're doing our daily Bible our yearly Bible reading, we get to that chapter, we go, okay, we're going to be here for a couple of days, you know. You read through your portions there. But almost every verse, if not every other verse, talks about David's relationship with God and the statutes and the commandments over and over and over. It talks about the way that the law of the Lord is in there and the discipline and the order that He puts in there. And over, David keeps thanking God in the longest chapter for giving him rules and discipline, for putting things and commandments in place that he had to follow. Because David understood that his life would be the success it would be simply because he followed that law. He understood very well, and we know his life. He understood that when he steps out of that will, when he steps out of that order, things happen. Things he didn't want. Things he couldn't even conceive, but because he let his lust get a hold of him, a baby died. Because he did this or that, even the raising of his sons, they rose up to take his kingdom. All kinds of issues and problems. Simply because he didn't keep that law. And it let him know, in Psalms 119 says, that I love thy testimonies. I love thy commandments. Because I understand that they're for a purpose. A faithful father is going to have some rules. He's going to have some things in place because he understands that it's going to be for the safety of his children. And our God is that way. Praise the Lord. A faithful father is faithful in love. The Bible says God is love. God is love. And so we have to understand that God is going to be faithful in love. But so are we. In Psalms 89. Turn there real quickly. You've got your Bibles. Notice in 32 and 33, Psalms 89. The Lord's saying here, let's go back to, wow, I just keep going here. It's talking about the Lord here. Let's go back to 30. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes, keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Verse 33, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. That's what a father does that's faithful. Yes, there's rules, but understand that that's got to be there. They've got to be there. But understand, my son, I love you. My daughter, I love you. This is why I'm doing it. And the Lord does those same things because he loves us. His loving kindness is not far off. It's there. His faithfulness is going to be there. That's what we've got to have. His faithfulness will not fail. Understand, it means that when God comes to us, those are those things that we can hold to. We don't have to go away from. God is faithful. And we need to be faithful fathers. Praise the Lord. We need to be faithful in our love. One, for those kids. They need to understand that we love. I've discovered that was one of those things that we're talking this week about. My son, I hoverer. At this point in his life, he still has to touch us. He still has to come by and, I love you, Dad. Now it's 15-year-old, I love you, Dad. And it's kind of done so that he knows it's going to irritate me if he comes around and says it multiple times. But he understands he can come and do that. And part of me likes to go, don't get so close. Don't crowd me. But then I'll realize, you know what? This is what he's recognizing, that this is a safe spot. This is a safe place. And you know, you that have multiple kids, each one of your kids, you have to show love a little differently. Each one responds to love a little differently. And so you find those things and you understand, and you have to correct them many times differently. The first child always has it the hardest. So the second, and the, you know, the middle kid, and we won't go there because my wife's a middle kid. And then the baby, you know, they always get everything. So, but each one of them we relate to. I realize now it's just the stages of life. There's a lot that happens in 10 years between that first one and that second one for me. And I see that difference, and I'm like, wow, okay. I can provide a little differently than I could at then. We were looking at our tax. We were cleaning out some files, doing taxes, and so I was going through cleaning some old ones, and I found in our closing statement for 1994 from the IRS, and combined, we were so far below the poverty line of today. It was just like, really? Is that all we made? And we bought a house and we had a car, and how did we survive? But God is faithful. Thank you, Lord. He provides. Faithful Father provides. And he's faithful in steadfastness. Praise the Lord. We have to understand that God, He's always going to be there. What my 25-year-old, when she wrote that note on Instagram, said to me was, "Dad, you're steadfast. Dad, over 25 years, I can still call you. I can still pick up the phone and let you know that I have need and you're going to do whatever it takes to get here, even though you're 9 hours away." She understands that. God is that way. Just the mention of His name, as we begin to worship Him and thank Him and praise Him in our worship service, God's presence just flowing in here. The reason why was we could do that so effortlessly was because we knew if we raised our hands, if we worshiped Him, He was going to respond. He was going to flow in here. It's something that I love, something that I desire with every part of my life, is to have God's presence. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Precious Jesus. Precious Lord. It's one of those things that we have to hold on to. We have to cling to and know that God is working in our behalf. He's steadfast. Praise the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and 12, notice what he says here. "For this cause I also suffer." This is Paul talking. "These things, nevertheless," this is the point I want to get to. He says, "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know," talking about what we understand God's steadfastness. Paul says, "I know, number one, whom I have believed." Steadfastness. It's a sure line. It's a sure thing. He's faithful. God is faithful. He's going to be there. He wrote this to Timothy. He wrote to the Corinthians. God is faithful. "I know. I believe." Then he says, and persuaded over and over and over again. God, in his mind, that's what he's saying. God is faithful and is able to keep. God's faithfulness, God's ability to keep me and hold me. He's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day to the end. God's able to be there to the end. That's what a faithful father does. He's someone that provides to the people, to us that call on him. And I want my son and my daughters to know that when they come to me, there's a steadfastness, a faithfulness about how I live my life and what I do, that they can relate to it and they can say, "I know, I believe, I'm persuaded that he's able to do it." I want to be just like the song. They say, "I want to be Superman to my kids." I don't know that I can twirl. I'm going to be a lot dizzier than he was. But I want them to believe I can jump and leap tall buildings, melt things with my eyes, and have super strength. My 15-year-old's my height now. You can relate to that, Brother Kellen. And I can't throw him as easy as I used to. I can't roughhouse with him. I have to watch, you know. And he's starting to realize that. That's the part of me. I've got to figure out a way to still be Superman. One man said, "Well, I just fight dirty." I keep him down. I fight dirty. I'm like, "Oh, I don't know that I can do that." But I want him to believe that I'm Superman. Because you know what? We serve a super God. We serve a super God. And our example of faithfulness is him. He's there. And if I can be just this much of what God is, wow, I'm doing pretty good. He's the one that I want to emulate. He's the one I want to follow. And so wherever we're at in our life and however we live and the things that we come against and the things that we need, understand, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful. God is faithful. If you went to bed every night with that on your mind, God is faithful. And you woke up every morning with that on your mind, God is faithful. The first thing you said. Imagine what it would feel like. In fact, if you don't do that, let's try it this week. Wake up and just think in your mind, God is faithful. Imagine the possibilities that arrive when you wake up with God is faithful. And then you start thinking about His promises. You start thinking about the times that He's been there for you. You know what? Tomorrow's Monday. The good news is, God is faithful. God is faithful. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Our God is such a God that He can be touched. The Lord's Prayer. I'd never really thought about it till God began speaking to me. Just we were coming up here to speak tonight, today. But think about it. At the end of all that prayer, He's still giving that instructions. He said, "How many of you would do this?" And it's stuff that at that time people would abhor. They wouldn't do it. There's no way they would give a scorpion. No way they'd give a stone. That was just beyond the pale of their imagination that a father would be that way to their child. And He ends that by saying, well, how much more would the faithful God, the Heavenly Father, provide for you? No matter where you're at, I think you can understand whether you had a great father or a bad father, in all honesty. Understand that when you compare it to God, your expectations, your thoughts of father, they pale. Because as Paul said, God is faithful. And for everything that may or may not have been done, today's environment, there probably would be people that would give a scorpion or stone, whatever the 2016 version of those are. Our world is in a hurting time. So you may have be in that place. Understand, that's not God. That's not. So if you have a hard time on Father's Day relating to fathers, understand there's the creator of the universe. The man who ordered, the God who ordered everything. Who knew that at this point in time, this place, we'd be right here. With all our different definitions of dad at this point. He has not changed. He has not wavered. His word is His bond. What He said, He is faithful and just and willing to perform. That's our God. Can we just begin to thank Him for that right now? Lord, I thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. For being a God that can be touched. A God that we can feel. A God that never changes, that is in love with us. Who loved us enough that You died for us. God, You are faithful. And I thank You for that. I thank You for being one that can be touched. Hallelujah. If we could, let's just assemble around the front. Let's just thank Him for being a faithful God. For being the one that we can come to.
When I think about the Lord, how He saved
me. We do nothing. Let's just thank Him for being faithful.
How He filled me with the Holy Spirit.
word we've ever prayed. For every time we've asked, He's been willing to give it. Every time we've sought for Him, He's been willing to be found. He hasn't hid. And every time we've knocked, come with our needs and said, Lord, I've got to have help, He's been willing to provide. To step into that gap.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's faithful. Thank
Lord,
you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Of all the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. On solid ground, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah.
Let's sing this to Him right now.
Thank
hallelujah.
You, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory, and all of the honor, and all of the praise.
Thank you. Can we thank Him once more for that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship You. We magnify this name. Thank You, God, because You are faithful. You're the one we can come to everything. Let us not take it for granted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, thank You, God. Lord, we pray for every family.
Thank You, Jesus.
God, we pray for all our fathers right now, God, that You will allow them, dear Lord, to accept the mantle, to take the role, to provide, dear God, and give. We thank You, Lord, for everything they've done. Dear Lord, for the way they've been. We honor our fathers, Lord. Thank You for being our example of what a father is. I pray, Lord, that You would be with them this day to protect them and keep them, Lord, Your wonderful name, until they return back in service with You. In the name of Jesus, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are there any announcements that you need to make?
We have a gift for all the dads. It's at the table in the back. So before you leave today, be sure to, they're spread out, be sure to grab that before you leave service this morning. If we have an extra one, if you'd like to give one to someone. There is no service tonight. I just want to say thank you, Brother and Sister Newman, for being here and being part of the church. Can we get in a hand clap? What a wonderful time we had here today at the house of the Lord. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.